Can you read our Bible in John 15, verse 4? I'm reading in the New Living Translation. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruits if it severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Now, this is a beautiful moment to hear from the Lord, to hear the message, and so get ready to receive from the Lord as we are remaining in him, and so that we can bear fruit. So can you put our hand together and welcome our preacher for today?
Good morning, church. Pastor, members of all, please pass the message to Emery. Do not attempt to walk on water. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, and fill me with your power, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. This is the prayer of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew, the first gospel, Matthew chapter 14. And I'll crave your indulgence that we all stand together. We can reverence the reading of God's holy word. Matthew chapter 14, if you can navigate your way onto the 22nd verse, and I'll be reading from the New King James version of the Bible. Matthew 14, beginning to read from verse 22, if you're there, say amen. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking in the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Beloved, before you take your seats, just look at the person next to you and say, "Neighbor, oh, neighbor, fix your eyes on Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of God." Now you may understand why I said, tell Brother Emery not to attempt to walk on that water. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about faith. We have been talking about the faith of a Christian. We've been talking about all this faith. And the last time I preached last month, I mentioned something also. We were talking about faith. And it's critical. Faith is critical to the work of a disciple. It is impossible to actually overestimate the value and importance of faith. The writer of Hebrews opened up in chapter 11 to give a description of faith. He said, faith is the substance of hope for and the evidence of things not seen. And he writes down to verse 11 when he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why is it impossible to please God if you don't have faith? Because God demands and requires us to do something that only your faith can actually move you to do it. Faith is not a characteristic. Faith is not a possession. Faith is not some kind of degree where you hang on a wall. My favorite pastor, the Reverend Howard Dr. John Wesley, said, faith does not operate where there is a guarantee of victory, but faith operates where there's a possibility of defeat. Faith, even though it's a noun, is best used as a verb because it demands some action. It demands some input in your work. It demands some you to make a move into what God has actually instilled in your life. Faith demands that with God, everything is possible. Amen? With God, everything is possible. And when we look at the text, there's one person that actually demonstrates a faith that we all find ourselves in. And that is no other person other than the disciple Peter. Peter is one disciple that we always say we associate ourselves with Peter. Why? Because Peter, sometimes you can see the good, and in Peter, sometimes you can see the bad. In Peter, sometimes he gets it right. In Peter, sometimes he gets it wrong. Look at somebody and say, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. Yeah, he's talking about me. Sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we don't get it right. This is Peter. Peter is the one who said in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked him, who do people say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And this same Peter, not once, not twice, but three times, he said, that man, I now don't know him. That's Peter. Sometimes he gets it right. Sometimes he gets it wrong. And so when you look at the text, it's a familiar story in the Bible. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus had just finished feeding the disciples. He was tired. And he said, he's just finished the 5,000. He had just finished feeding the 5,000. And he was tired. And the Bible says he sent the disciples away. Because sometimes disciples can, you know. He sent them away. He said, you go and I will meet you on the other side. And the crowd, he dispersed them. He told them, go. And he wanted to be alone. And he went up the mountain to pray. The text says, by evening, expecting that the disciples should be on the other side, he looked and see that the boat was stuck in the middle of the sea because the wind was contrary. Let us say that word together. Contrary. Because the wind was contrary. So he decided to walk over to meet them and he walked on the water. Now it was late at night. They saw this image coming and they were all scared and said, it must be a ghost. Immediately, Jesus told them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter said, he made a request. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. Jesus said, come. And Peter miraculously began to walk on water. Now, that's not how the story ends. Because the Bible says that when he saw the wind was boisterous, he began sinking, and Jesus had to reach out to him. And the first thing Jesus said, I'm sure, is something that we've all heard as Christians. Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Well, that's the story. Now let's just unpack and see what lessons we can learn as we make our way and walk in the kingdom of God. Amen? Jesus said to him, why did you doubt? Jesus looked at the crowd. He looked at the boat. He looked at the disciples and knew they were afraid. And in good Baptist term, he said three things. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I want to make sure you catch this. They were in the boat. The wind was contrary. They were rowing, going nowhere. And they saw something that looked like a ghost. And Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Why would Jesus say those three things to them? Because number one, if we are going to walk in faith, we must have a positive mindset and a proper perspective. Amen? First point, we must have a positive mindset and a proper perspective. Now, I don't want you to think that maybe Jesus was a little bit insensitive, because as I've done this over and over already, they were in the boat. They were in the middle of the boat. They were supposed to have got there by now. And they didn't move because the wind was contrary. They are taking one step before, but the wind is pushing them back. They are moving. They are not going anywhere. They are struggling. And they see something like a ghost. And Jesus comes and said, "Be of good cheer." Beloved, it's like when you are going through some struggles in life, then somebody comes and tell you, man, will smile. You look like, hey, what is this person talking about? But what Jesus is trying to portray to us is that if you have to have a faith that can move, you need that positive mindset and remove negativity from you. That you should always see the bright side of things. Because a negative faith, a negative perspective cannot enable faith in your life. If you are moving anything that you have a negative mindset that this thing will not work, believe you me, it will not work. Because the Bible tells us in James that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you need that positive mindset. Be of good cheer. Why would Jesus tell them be of good cheer? Now, the text tells us that it was during the fourth watch. Let's say that together. The fourth watch. Now, the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. in the morning to 6 a.m. in dawn. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's the fourth watch. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now, that is not the darkest time of the night. The darkest time of the night is the third watch, which is from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. So what Jesus is trying to tell them that it is not dark, be of good cheer. Why? Because morning is coming. The sun is about to shine. If you can hold on a little bit longer, the sun is about to shine. Oh, I know it's early in the sermon, but I don't know who I came to speak to. You've been moving in boisterous wind. You've been trying to move from one place to another. You've been running from one doctor to another. Jesus is telling you right now, be of good cheer. Hold on, because the sun is about to shine. Amen. The sun is about to shine on your life, because with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Amen. Keep a positive mindset. Keep a proper perspective, because the sun is about to shine. So the question is, if Peter had a positive perspective and a proper mindset to actually walk on water, why did he sink? Why did he start to sink? He had a positive mindset. He had a proper perspective. He was walking on the water. Why did he start to sink? It is clear in verse 30. That he said the wind was boisterous. Now, Peter's desire was not to walk on the water. Peter's desire was to go meet Jesus. Okay? His desire was not to walk. And the moment he started walking, the wind changed. And he took his eyes off Jesus. And he began sinking. That should not surprise you, Christian friends, because every time you make a decision to follow Christ, then Satan jumps into it. Because the Bible tells us, but the thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Do not, the moment you take your eyes off Jesus, then all hell starts breaking loose in your life. Look at the person next to you, say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Peter took his eyes off Jesus because of what he saw. He saw that the wind was boisterous. There will be voices in your head. Oh, brother, you cannot do it. Anytime you make a decision to do something, the negativity comes from all over, even from your own very family. But you have to, as long as there's a promise over your life, you have to fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Now, there's three things we learned from the wind. The Bible says the wind was contrary. We've already covered that. He said also in verse 30 that the wind was boisterous. We've already covered that. Now, Christian friends, that same wind that was contrary, that same wind that was boisterous, is the same wind that seized. Okay, you missed that point. Let me try it again. He said the wind was contrary. He said the wind was boisterous. But then he says now, the wind seized. So what is this trying to tell you? That the troubles of your life may enlarge. The winds in your life may be boisterous. The winds in your life may be contrary. But that same wind, if you hold on, it shall come to pass. It will cease in your life and you will make your way. I don't know what I came to preach to, but the Bible tells us that if we hold on to God's promises, the wind will surely cease in your life. Amen? Amen. Be of good cheer. Then he said, it is I. Now, this is deep. Pay attention. This is deep. Now, if you know the Bible, this is not the first time we've had it is I. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was having a discussion with Jesus to go to Pharaoh, Moses asked God, who should I say sent me? And God said, I am. Because if I tell you a name, you will limit my ability to what I'm going to do. So I'm saying, I am. Now Jesus is trying to tell them that, do not be afraid, I am. That means in all the trials you are going through, God is here. Come. Come on, people, wake up. This is translated that in all the trials and all the tribulations, do not be afraid because God is here. Yes, I know God is here, but not like that. God is here. He says, I am. Now, watch this. I told you it's deep. Peter has responded, said, Lord, if it's you, again, this is not the first time we've had that. In Matthew chapter 4, that's what Satan used. Said, Lord, if it's you, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to bread. This is not the first time we've had it. And Peter's response, Peter did not only start sinking because the wind was boisterous. Peter began sinking because he disconnected his faith from the source that enabled him to walk on the water. Peter did not only start sinking because of the wind. He disconnected his faith from the source that enabled him to walk on the water. Why? Because he's doubting that it is, if it's you, Lord, let me come. And Jesus told him, come. Now, watch this. It gets interesting. Jesus was able to grab onto Peter the moment when he starts sinking. Now, Peter took a leap of faith to get out of the boat. Okay? And he's walking on the water. Jesus is also walking towards him. Okay? He's doubting while he's walking to make sure, yes, it's Jesus that he's going, that the moment when he cried for help, Jesus could just reach and pick him out. So that means Peter had already left the boat and he was already walking, but yet he's doubting. And Jesus' response to pick him out to say, oh, ye of little faith, look how far you've come walking, and yet you are doubting. Who else could it be?
Who else could it be? M23 is there, but we are still here serving God. Who else could it be? You've been laid off from your job, but you are still eating. Who else could it be? You still have a job. God is providing for you every day. Who else could it be? You're still breathing. You're still alive. Who else could it be? Look at somebody and say, stop doubting. Start believing. Stop doubting and start believing. God, who else could it be? So it's not only that we keep a proper perspective. It's not only we keep a positive mindset, but we need to stay connected. Because if God is the same one who's brought you far all this time, why do you doubt? Keep believing and trusting God. Amen? Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. And here's the last thing. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, one text that we've read in this church so many times is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. That God has not given us a spirit of fear. But of what? But of love, but of peace, of power, might, we add ours, and of sound mind. Amen? Okay. Now, I don't want you to cry Peter down for doubting, because we can be in his shoes. Now imagine, we just saw Brother Emery out there. And what if Jesus had appeared and told Emery, walk on the water, come to me. Bro. Peter had the faith to jump out of the boat to walk on the water. Now remember, the wind is contrary. The wind is boisterous. But yet, Peter had enough faith to leave the boat to start walking on the water. Because to have a good faith, you must have the ability to face your fears. Do not be afraid. You have to face your fears. Now, we all remember Indiana Jones franchise, no? Indiana Jones. There's a movie called The Last Crusade. I've actually preached about one of them when I said, only the penitent will pass. The penitent, you have to kneel to humble yourself. The second one, only who walks in the name of God will pass. That means the name of Jehovah in the Greek alphabet. Now, the last one was, you have to have a leap of faith. Now, the leap of faith is that I need to go over to Brother Saj. But I'm up in the mountain and there is no floor. But the leap of faith is I have to put my foot, hoping that somebody, something there will catch me so I can go over to Brother Saj. That's the emergency of Peter walking, leaving the boat just to jump, and something else, you see, now I almost sleep. Something else will catch him so that he can reach his destination. Because that's what faith demands in our life. That God can tell us to do something, but we don't see the possibility. How is it going to happen? Now, we need that faith in us to take the leap to say, I am going because God says so. Some of you have jobs they've promised you. You are sitting on a job right now and there is another job. God says, take the other job. But the uncertainty is there. And you know what we normally say? You don't leave certainty for uncertainty. That is not biblical. Because God says, you need that faith and trust me that with God, everything is possible. Amen? Everything is possible. So you have to face your fears. Now, why some people are still sitting down is because they don't understand the text, which I'm going to show you now before we leave. The Bible says, Peter saw the wind was boisterous and he began to sink. It did not say he sank or he was sinking. It said he began to sink. Now, nothing begins to sink. If you take a rock and you throw it down the lake, what happens? It just goes down. Now, Peter began to sing. What that tells you, he's taking his mind off Jesus and he's going down slowly by slowly. He's going down slowly by slowly. But grace made him have the energy to call on God. Say, Lord, save me. Grace made it possible for Peter to have enough strength to say, Lord, save me. And Jesus had to reach out and pick him up. Because what this tells us, no matter how you've messed up, no matter how bad you've gone, no matter how long you've strayed away from, grace makes it possible for you to be connected with God. Grace creates the space for the unworthy to be in a right relationship with God. I don't know who this is for, but as I close this text, stop listening to the voices that surround you. Stop listening to the voices that says it cannot be done. Yes, you've strayed away from God, but Jesus is clear right now. All you need to do is just call on his name. Do not be afraid. Call on his name. The hymn writer says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, that when I call for help, Jesus hears me, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe I am. Let's stand up and sing that chorus. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Please be on your feet. Beloved, it is that love that caused Jesus to shed his blood on Calvary for us. It is that love that he came and made that ultimate sacrifice so that you and I will be reunited. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed. But he's there right now. All you need to do is just call on his name. No matter the storms of life, stay connected and fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Because you need a proper perspective and a proper mindset. You need to stay connected and don't doubt. And you need a faith that enables you to face your fears. Lord, your children are here before you. In reverence to call on you this hour, we are all here with our different problems, our different situation. Enable us to fix our eyes on you so that even though when we start to sink, even though when we start to move away from you, we still have the courage to call on you and you will always answer. For you said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, waiting for us to invite you into our hearts. Lord, we invite you into our hearts. Come this moment, Lord, and make our crooked places straight. So we leave this place going, propagating your gospel and winning souls in your kingdom. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's children say, amen.